Hi, I'm Todd Nathanson.
And I'm Alina Morgan.
This is Song versus Song. This week, we have a garage rock, indie rock showdown. We are doing Last Night by The Strokes versus Fell in Love with a Girl by The White Stripes. Not Seven Nation Army. I felt pretty strongly about that one. I'm saving Seven Nation Army for a different matchup. I'm not sure what yet, but for me, The Strokes versus The White Stripes was the thing right when I started getting into my own music. Do you remember this? Do you remember the two of them being associated with each other?
There are some associations in a way. It's interesting because you say that, and when I think of The White Stripes, if I was going to pit them against something, it would be against a band I assume they'd obliterate, which is the Black Keys.
Well, that would be a fun matchup because not only do they have similar names, they hate each other.
Yes. And also, as we'll get into, I actually kind of prefer the Black Keys a little bit.
What?
I know. And this is like one of the most unpopular things I'm ever at the time, at least. I don't know if that's still true, but I will say that I had seen the Black Keys live right when their first album dropped, and they gave a really great performance, and I remember really enjoying that album and not really getting into the White Stripes until Elephant.
Well, I mean, the Black Keys first album would have been right around Elephant, right? Like, they've been around a bit.
They have. I can't remember if that it's like 2001 or 2002. I think that might be 2002.
I always associated the two of them together just because they're the only garage rock duos I can think of.
Well, you say that, which, I mean, it's true in a way. Like, I think to me, the White Stripes, very specifically, their genre is garage rock.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas to me, the Black Keys are blues.
I mean, they say that about like,
I mean, the White Stripes lean more into certainly Jack White leans more into blues as he goes. But Especially if you're looking at sort of earlier records, like, there is a genre difference. They are not actually the same, in my opinion.
So what are the Strokes then?
That's a good question. I mean, they also have, they're like a New York indie band.
That's literally what they are.
But like, that is a genre, and then it became one of the genres, right? Like, everything was trying to sound a little bit like that sort of New York scene.
Yeah, the meet me in the bathroom scene.
Indeed.
I watched that documentary recently.
I haven't watched it because I heard mixed things about it, but I feel like I should check it out. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the book is better, but I haven't
read the
book.
I suspect, yes. Okay, we agree. I want to read the book more so than I want to watch the documentary.
Do you remember that this was going to be like the saviors of rock, both these bands?
Yes. I distinctly recall, I mean, like, the saviors of rock. I seem to remember the Strokes being like, they were supposed to be the thing that was going to break out this specific kind of indie music that had been bubbling up.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, this was going to be the, like, bust open the door, and now all the other ones are going to be enormously famous, right? Like, It's going to change the state of music. Like, I guess save rock in the sense that, like, rock and roll was not as popular, certainly not this kind of rock and roll at the time. And I'm not sure that, like, that didn't happen at all. It's just, like, I'm not sure how super mainstream it was, and I'm not sure that the stuff that got big was
all that big.
Yeah, and it certainly wasn't, like, as New York as it wanted to be, which is such a snobby thing to say, but, like, you know.
What do you mean, not as New York? Like, what could be more New York?
Like, I don't think that these, like, the Strokes is, well, look, let's do the thing where we each pick a band, and then we can kind of get into this a little more.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think we were talking about this for half a second, but for me, the obvious answer is the White Stripes. I didn't ask you if you were comfortable taking the Strokes, but it seems like you're pretty comfortable taking the Strokes.
It's interesting. Yes. I mean, I will say that there are a number of reasons why I am okay with doing this. You asked me if I would take the Strokes, and I'm happy to do so. But we can get in with why. But yeah, I mean, like, even like having sat down and listened to these songs back and forth for a little while, I don't think there's a wrong answer, honestly. But I think that I do actually, all these years later, now like a 2+ decades after the fact, I would say that I genuinely do prefer Last Night.
Mm-hmm. I think I caught the backlash to the Strokes even before I was aware of the hype of the Strokes. Because when that first album dropped, this was like right when I was getting into my own music, stuff that I would want to listen to that my parents didn't pick for me. And, you know, I was, you know, in high school. I don't know, like the people I was listening to, like the snobs I was listening to were too snobby for the Strokes.
That's correct. That is certainly the thing that I remember most from this time. I remember this song dropping and all of the snobbiest people I knew being like, you know, some equivalent of like, don't you know who his daddy is? And like, you know, like they're right. Not like
snobby rich kids.
Yeah, like they're like kind of insiders. You know, like, I don't think plant was really a term that got thrown around at the time, but if it was, certainly the Strokes would have been accused of it.
Yeah.
Which is not really fair, I don't think. But yeah, I mean, like, in the sense that, like, they were in New York, some of them kids got some money. Like, this is a topic that's coming up now, even. Like, you know, there are literal artists right now that's like, does it matter if a talented artist is rich?
Yeah, it doesn't matter if they're Nepo babies.
Yeah.
And, like, I think I've already said this, but it bears repeating now. The whole Nepo baby discourse that is happening right now is simply because no one had coined the word Nepo baby before. And now that we have that word, it's fun to say it over and over again.
Sure is. Nepo baby.
Nepo baby, Nepo baby. And the Strokes are very much that. Albert Hammond Jr. is the son of Albert Hammond Sr., who had a number one hit in 1972. I mean, like, one hit. I don't know how much Nepo juice you get out of that, but
it's more than zero.
Yes.
Which is, you know, which is something. Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of interesting to look at this era in general, just because, like, this is peak Napster time. This is it. This is like you're really seeing the impact. We've talked about this on the show before, where, like, I remember going from, you know, late 98 and using like Scour, which was like the first peer-to-peer music trafficking site that I was ever aware of. Trafficking's the wrong word, Jesus Christ.
Torrenting, I think is
there
the word.
There you go. File that sharing.
That wasn't the word at the time either.
But yeah, so like Scour existed and I downloaded a lot of like classic songs. I listened to a lot of 80s music using that. But like when Napster came around and Baby got their first cable modem, things shifted very, very, very quickly. And I don't know how much my experience mirrors other people's from that time, but like I went from being guided by radio airplay and some general awareness of indie music to having the ability to just download anything that Pitchfork was talking about or any other website that was talking about music was talking about. So I could just try everything. And so I did.
Yeah, it was certainly helpful in getting into the new hip Pitchfork bands, because these bands that were hyped up to be the next big thing did not quite. Well, I mean, the White Stripes were. The Strokes, not so much.
Well, the Strokes, you know, I mean, like, it's kind of interesting because technically they formed in like 98, but they feel like they'd like came out the same year as they had their first hit. That's the thing about them, is that they feel like they just hit it big immediately and were not ready for that at all. And then there were consequences, right? That was always the vibe.
It, yes. Yes, that feels right. That feels very right. I can't imagine them existing in the 90s. I can't imagine them existing now, honestly.
And I think, like, that in there is an element of truth to that, in the sense that I think the White Stripes had been comfortably like outperforming pretty regularly for years before they'd had their big hit, you know. And so I think in the book we were discussing that this even kind of comes up, that Jack White had sort of felt that they had been a little more ingratiated and prepared. Not that they were expecting fame, but when it came, they like were less likely to succumb to what fame has to offer,
right,
than the members of the Strokes were. But yeah, I don't, man, what It's just like, what were you listening to in 2000 into 2001? Do you remember?
No, I think I just discovered file sharing. No, I think that might have been later. Honestly, I was still, you know, in school, in living at home. I was still in high school.
What Gosh. Was it? Yeah, I like started writing down. I was like, what was I listening to? Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, Sigur Rós, Spiritualize, Godspeed You Black Emperor. But then also like Nutrimilk Hotel and Magnetic Fields, Beta Band. There's a lot of stuff.
I was probably still catching up on all the 90s alt rock that I had missed.
Well, there's, honestly. I mean, consider that like there were bands that I was listening to that had been around for a while. And some of these bands obviously had been around since the 90s too. Like, they happen to be releasing stuff, but like the big bands, like, you know, I think that I let Radiohead back in to my heart, and I had been continuing to like Bjork, and like 2000, 2001 were big times for them. Right. Cause like Radiohead did like Kid A and then Amnesiac right after that. And I think Bjork had put out like Vespertine in 2001, mm-hmm. but like, these are bands that like were making things that we're never going to find mainstream success unless it was Radiohead, right? Like Radiohead was already so big that like they could do something like Kid A or something like Amnesiac, and that you'd still maybe like you'd see the music video on MTV. It might even get some airplay, although maybe not as much as what had happened on OK Computer. But like, that's different. That's so fundamentally different. But yeah, I don't know. There was a lot of bands that I felt like were kind of getting a little bit bigger at the time. Like that's when I got into La Tigra and like Slater Kinney. And those bands had been around for, well, obviously Kathleen had been around for ages because she'd done Bikini Kill before that. But Slater Kinney had been around for a while. And right around, I think like 2000, I think was All Hands on the Bad One. And then like maybe 2 years later was One Beat, which I felt had kind of broke through a little bit. But that was a perfect example, right? Like, that was a band that had a lot of indie success that it seemed like because of the success of the Strokes, that from All Hands on the Band One to One Beat, they should have blown up. And I remember seeing a lot of push for One Beat, and it didn't happen. Even the album after that, The Woods, it still didn't quite happen.
One Beat?
One Beat is the name of the album by Slater Kinney that came out after.
Yeah, that's...
Trust me, I was there. I remember there being a bit of a marketing push.
No, this is when rock starts to really fall apart, when it starts to really diverge between the new metal and the indie rock, and that's why we don't have rock and roll anymore.
I guess. It's kind of interesting. I don't know. I feel like, to your point, right, there was this idea that the Strokes was going to be
the savior of rock. The savior of rock, new Nirvana. I heard that phrase over and over again. By heard it, I mean I read that on the blogs.
They could have been. There's a version where that might have happened. But I do think...
I'm not sure that is.
I don't know, man. There are two elements. One, the Strokes themselves were not capable. because they were not happy, because fame did not do good things to them, emotionally or physically. And, yeah. And I think, too, like I said, like the Napster era was so fractured.
In the documentary, they even say straight up, it was like, if we had broke 2 years before Napster, we would be rolling in money right now.
Yeah, because there's a perception, right? Like, yeah, I think what they'd said was that, like, that, you know, that first record would have sold like 3 million copies instead of what it did sell, which is 1 million. And 1 million is a lot, but it's nothing comparatively.
Yeah. I don't know. I was reading the Pitchfork reviews of both these albums, Is This It and White Blood Cells. And the Pitchfork review for Is This It says something like, okay, let's calm down the hype. This is not going to change your life. It's just a really, really good rock album. Like, if you have to start out like that, it feels like something has gone wrong already in your narrative. Because now here's the interesting thing. The White Stripes released their album a couple months earlier, And the same guy, I think, Ryan from Pitchfork, is just like praising them to the heavens. Like the same hype that he is like trying to avoid for the Strokes, he is like over the moon. Hold on, I'm going to pull it up right now because there's some choice quotes in here. All right. There's always something new coming along, taking that heavily rooted sound, the music of the gods, and making the old beast sing anew. It's Christ and Prometheus eternally dying and rising again. What are you talking about?
I mean, as we all know, this was the time when Pitchfork was so respected. Nobody looks back on this time and thinks that they're ludicrous.
They were respected at the time.
I know. But in hindsight, I think that like there is a little bit of a backlash to this era.
Yeah, like I feel like maybe like the whole Strokes, like let's calm down the hype review is kind of like reacting to this review. They don't innovate rock. They embody it.
Good grief. Let me tell you something. By the way, I couldn't see an argument either way if we're just going song by song.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sorry, man. To me, Is This It is a superior record. Way better. Miles better. Far more cohesive. Like the White Stripes is great. It's like it's frenetic. It's energized. But like, I don't know, dude. I get tired of it pretty quickly.
Like, even though I was listening to nothing but rock and roll at the time, I am like in my heart a pop fan. And for me, the Strokes were just not interesting. They hit like the Strokes got a 9.1 from Pitchfork. And when I listen to Is This It, I hear an album that is a 9.1 in quality, but like a 7.0 in my heart. And that's how I feel about the Strokes the entire way through. They're a good band that I simply cannot care about. Versus the White Stripes, which is like they are like a personality. They're a band with personality. They're a person like they have like silly gimmicks, even though they're like authentic. They dress in red and white. They have like a goofy backstory about how maybe their ex-husband and ex-wife, or maybe their brother and sister, who knows. And they're just simply far more interesting to me than the Strokes could ever be.
So a couple things. One, right. I can see that. I think that like, it's like they had a Brian Epstein, you know, like somebody who told them to wear suits and all have the same haircut, you know, and bow a certain way. They have a Michel Gondry music video. Like,
right.
There are things that provide them a certain kind of cultural cachet that the Strokes, even though like they were being treated like they were going to be the gods of rock.
The new Nirvana.
Yeah, like, they did, I don't think they had that per se. You know, my understanding, I never saw the Strokes live, but my understanding is that they kill live, that they're very good. They're a great live act when they feel like it. Which you hear occasionally. There are a lot of artists that fall under that category. But
you catch them on a good day, and they're the best band you've ever seen.
Yeah,
but you won't necessarily catch them on a good day.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially like you know, I think into their second and third records, like there's a lot of you know, doing too many drugs, not getting along. One of them was friends with Ryan Adams, and that was a mistake.
Are you sure you haven't seen this documentary? Because this all comes up.
Yeah, no, I read an article that kind of condenses some of the big stuff about about this band in this particular time period. Yeah, here's my statement is that Ryan Adams is the Andy Dick of the 2000 indie rock scene.
Well, he is a dick of the indie rock scene, certainly.
Certainly. I don't think he's actually got any deaths on the books, but like that's fucking luck. Anyway, now that we can get sued by Ryan Adams, on with the show.
Listen to us, Ryan Adams. Yeah, also, please stop listening to us, Ryan Adams.
So when you gave me this pick, I added an immediate third party vote, which was Date with the Night by the AAS. That came out 2 years later. But like,
right.
The AAS were that band for me. Right. Like the way that the mainstream, I suppose, was trying to push this idea of the Strokes and the way that a lot more indie people had reacted to the White Stripes. That is the way that I felt about the Yeah Yeah Yeahs when I heard Fever to Tell, the album, which has Date with the Night and, of course, Maps on it. Was like, this is the band. This is the one. Like, I keep hearing these other two bands come up. This is the one that makes me feel what it is that I keep hearing other people are feeling or are supposed to feel about these two bands.
Yeah, no, I did feel about the White Stripes, and I absolutely felt it about the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. Like, I could immediately understand why this band can change your life. This is your favorite band in high school.
Yes, high so school.
For those of us who are high school aged.
But I will say there was so I brought a particular factor here, which I don't think I've ever done before. I was going to tell you I was taking the Strokes because I did this thing where I'd gone over to a friend's house. I don't know if you have this thing going on with you, Todd, but all of my friends have babies now.
Surprisingly, not so many in my sphere.
All right. In my sphere, it's almost everybody suddenly has a baby, which is great. I love babies, and I love not having one of my own.
Uh-huh.
But this one baby, the greatest baby to ever exist, baby Adrian, really loves music in a way that I did as a kid. And so I went over to my friend's house, and we were playing a bunch of music. And as it happened, I had played Crisscross's Jump and then House of Pain's Jump Around.
Right. And
baby Adrian enjoyed Crisscross, but went absolutely ballistic for House of Pain. Like, I had never seen this child be so happy in their entire life. It was a life-changing moment, and I was like, man, I should just pass each one of these pairings onto baby Adrian and see which one they like better. And so we played the White Stripes and we played the Strokes. And once again, there was a clear winner, and it was the Strokes.
Really?
Yes.
I feel like if this was Seven Nation Army, that would go a different way.
It's entirely possible, but I'm going to give you, I have a really petty explanation.
Go on.
It's because it sounds like American Girl. You get the joke that I did?
Yes.
I think that
I get the joke.
So for those that don't know, the Strokes did at one point confess that Last Night was effectively just straight up ripped off of American Girl. And then Tom Petty was like, that's all right. You know, that's more of a Bob Dylan. But like, you know, he was fine with that one for some reason. He's filed lawsuits over different things, but not that one. That one he let slide right through. And you can really hear it. Like,
yeah.
When somebody said, like, oh, yeah, like, that they just took it. I was like, yeah, that's right. That's absolutely correct. And I think that it does kind of build in that way that American Girl does. It's that opening that's just, like, so simple, so clean, but that one driving note. And as much as, you know, babies like a little bit of chaos, I do think that kids like to feel like there's a little bit of a journey to what they're listening to, even if it's a simple one. And so that song really built, like, you know, like the kids just going, dun, 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 dun.
There's
you
a
know,
bounce like, to it, yeah.
There is. And,
that's a song you can jump to.
And baby bounced. Baby yeah. Shirley did bounce and then ran around the house and giggled and screamed. And I was like, that's our winner. So I think that there is a lizard brain element to Last Night. And that was actually the first thing that made me go, okay, that's the one I'm going to pick. So thank you, baby Adrian.
Well, you seem much more into the Strokes as a band than the White Stripes.
I just think that, like, they're very interesting, right? Just in the sense that, like Courtney Love really, remember that? Courtney Love, like, really stumped for them.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like, they did this thing on MTV or MTV2 or something like that where it was like, we're going to give Courtney Love 24 hours where she doesn't sleep and she just controls the network and it's insane. I know that's not a popular word to use now, but it's like truly, if I sat and watched 24 hours of a deeply strung out Courtney Love just saying everything that came out into her head, I would be less sane by the time those 24 hours were over. And they were on. The Strokes were on, yeah, on that show. And you know, there's some talk about whether or not she and Casablancas had dated. I don't know. Is that true? Did they? That's they seem to have written songs about each other.
I mean, literally everyone in the alternative rock scene between 1993 and 2003 wrote at least one song about Courtney Love.
Yeah, but she wrote a song about him, which maybe unconfirmed, but it seems pretty clear to me.
What could they possibly have in common?
Drugs. well, I guess I actually don't know how many drugs he was doing compared to some other members of the band. But like, I have to say, I think that that's not a good angel to have on your shoulder.
No,
and
it's
I don't
not.
Say that to be, you know, insulting to Courtney Love, like she's some terrible person. But like, she does have a lot of things that she struggles with. And I'm not sure that she's the best person to advise people on how to be a rock star.
Yeah.
She's brilliant. I mean, if you actually sit and watch some of the stuff that she says in that 24 hours, like, it's fascinating. And it's not like she's a fool. Like, Courtney Love has got a lot of thoughts and she's not uneducated, right? Like, mm-hmm, she's deeply into a lot of different things, but that doesn't make up for the fact that she's, you know, struggling. She'd be struggling.
Yeah.
And I would not want her as an angel on my shoulder for sure.
You know, it's funny you said that. You couldn't remember, but it sounds like MTV2 is what you said.
I think it was MTV2 that did it.
Yeah, that makes sense because the Strokes were like the definition of an MTV2 band.
For sure. And, oh, yeah.
And they're absolutely a band that just could not quite make it, almost, but never quite make it to MTV proper the way, yeah, the White Stripes did with Seven Nation Army, which was like a genuine like mainstream hit that everyone knows now.
Yeah, well, I remember that happening. It was wild to hear you pick a song by the White Stripes that was not that one.
Well, I mean, like, if I'm going to put the Strokes against the White Stripes, it's going to be while the Strokes were the hottest shit in the world. And the White Stripes song at that time was Fell in Love with a Girl. In fact, I'm not sure Seven Nation Army overtook Fell in Love with a Girl until, like, it started becoming like a sports anthem. But Fell in Love with a Girl, like if Courtney Love was going to be attracted to anyone, I'm surprised it wasn't Jack White, because he kind of strikes me as like a very 90s alternative star, the same way that Cobain or Billy Corgan were, because he was like, he knew how to keep his like shit legit, but he also had like the big colorful videos and he was like a genuine personality you'd want to talk to on Headbangers Ball or whatever the 2000s equivalent was. He knew exactly which parts he could be poppy, I guess, and which parts he could keep authentic, the same way that Kurt Cobain did. And that's kind of why I was attracted to it. And like, Fell in Love with a Girl has like that gimmicky Michelle Gondry video,
mm-hmm,
and it fucking rips. Like, I was all into that song right away. Versus the Strokes, which had a lot of songs I liked, but none I particularly loved.
I just think that album's hard to explain. Very strong. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. I just think that ultimately, like, with all the time that's passed, I find that like Last Night just feels more like a cohesive and complete song on its own. And I listen to Fell in Love with a Girl, and I'm like, that's just like somebody that's like doing a great job of screaming in my ear for approximately 2 minutes. And there's not like a ton of structure to it. It's basically just the one note.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's it. But I will say, they both bands found more success in the UK first, which makes them both similar to Tom Petty in that way. Tom Petty had the exact same thing happen where he was big in the UK and then found success over here in the States. But also, do you know the first American TV performance for the Strokes? Do you know where that appearance was?
No, Conan.
It was Conan O'Brien. It was Late Night with Conan O'Brien.
I mean, that's just like a reasonable guess.
But the
like,
thing
they
is
weren't
that,
big
like,
enough for
they,
Leno.
But they went back a lot to him. Like, there was like a whole period where I think that like they like once a week, every week for like a month, I think, they came and played with him. And the reason I bring this up is because I think it's a pretty well-known fact that Conan O'Brien is pretty tight with Jack White.
I didn't know that.
Like, He loves the White Stripes. Yeah, well, I mean, like, his podcast has got the other big hit off of that White Stripes album.
We're Gonna Be Friends?
That's the one. I think that's like Conan's like favorite song, just period. He loves it. And he's very fond of Jack. And like, you know, I think it's sort of interesting that somehow, despite all of that, that the Strokes were also kind of loomed large there for a minute, but, you know, before they kind of like blasted their ears out so quick that they couldn't really hear or function anymore after that. But I guess what I'm saying is, Conan O'Brien is cool.
You know, it's a funny thing. I'm on that Pitchfork review of White Blood Cells. It says there's only one dud on this record. It's We're Going to Be Friends.
Lol.
I mean, that's
incorrect.
Like after the two big ones, like that's closer to their like most popular song.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, it's the theme song for the Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend podcast.
And for Napoleon Dynamite.
There you go. People love that song.
Speaking of things, indie things that were overhyped in the 2000s.
Oh, man. I don't know. I do think it's funny because as far as the mainstream and I think more relevant to these bands' interests, the financial success, like that stuff may not have been there. In the level that you would have hoped they would have been. But I don't know, man. Like, I brought up the AAS. That's like 2 years after the fact. I don't want to act as though the Strokes and the White Stripes in 2001 had no impact.
Oh, no.
I think they absolutely did. It's just it wasn't enough, like you said, to be on MTV proper.
Right. You compare it to like Nirvana and Pearl Jam and the Smashing Pumpkins and the Foo Fighters and the Chili Peppers and stuff. Like, the stuff that we were trying to will back into existence in Y2K after Total Request Live just like kicked all that stuff off the air. Like that's what they were trying to like force back into existence. Oh, and of course, like the new metal. This was like, remember when rock was good? Why can't rock be good again?
Yeah, I think that the thing about it is that it's just really good. And I would argue that record is just good straight through. Like, it's just every track is pretty solid. There's a couple ones that clearly feel like singles. I don't know, ostensibly. I was going back and looking at everything. It was weird. I saw that Fantano had done, like, a ranking of all of the Strokes records. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this would be the first one. He put it right immediately. He was like, goes in the S tier, was like a benchmark album for him in college, was like one of those things that he would constantly refer back to. And I was like, man, we are two very different people, because I would never say that about this record, but it is really good. And I found myself going back, listening to it and thinking, like, should this album have been more in my rotation than it was? And I don't know. I think probably not, just because, like, I was so much happier listening to, like I said, to something like One Beat or Litigra's Feminist Sweepstakes, which I still consider to be, like, one of the great unsung records, because it was, you know, like, it didn't have a Decepticon on it. And now, of course, unfortunately, for the last, like, I don't know, 8 years, I feel like Litigra is just a punchline because they did a song called I'm With Her.
I have never heard of this.
Really?
No, oh, I have, man. You know, when I think of Litigra, I think of the songs everyone likes. I
always feel like, so like right around, I think it was towards the end of the election, with Hillary versus Trump. They were like, we're going to put out something that's going to help. And it's not on any record. And the only place you can find it is the music video that is through Pitchfork. And if you listen to it, it is, I think, one of the worst things I've ever heard in my life. Like, it's truly horrific. And it makes me sad because this was a band that I saw many times in concert because I loved them so much. Are you going to listen to it?
I mean, we're getting way off track here, but like when you have the chance, we're going to put I'm With Her against a song called Go Forth, Feminist Warriors, which, boy, the female indie rockers of the mid 2010s. What were they doing, man?
Wait, who was that? Wait, who did that song?
It's a lot of people. I can't name them all off the top of my head. I think Tegan and Sarah is one of them. But
oh, rough. All right, I would be happy to do that just because it sounds so miserable, and I do occasionally hate myself.
If here's something I'm kind of like formulating in my head to defend the Strokes, which is a band I've never really been into. They do remind me a bit of Tom Petty,
like sure.
as whose whole thing was being unpretentious, like not building up any mythos of himself except a guy who made a lot of kick-ass rock songs. And that feels like kind of silly to say about the Strokes, who are like the quintessential bedhead hairdo indie hipsters with the leather jackets and the sunglasses and shit that you imagine. But like that sounds like I'm describing Lou Reed, and Lou Reed was like a weird guy who made a whole bunch of experimental records, and the Strokes were not that. They're just like guys who made good rock and roll.
Yeah, I think that under the right management, I think that those guys could have stuck it out. You know what I mean? Like, I truly think that it's a matter of circumstance. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, that's what that first album makes me think of. I think that's really well said. Is it reminds me a lot of like those first couple of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers records. Like solid, couple of really strong singles. You know, I don't think they're quite as all killer, no filler as Damn the Torpedoes, which is, you know, as you know, I think probably one of the greatest rock albums of all time. But they are simple, right? Like, I don't go back and listen to Tom Petty and be like, man, there's a guy with a lot of political things to say. I guess the reason that I brought up La Tigra and how much I loved them and why the Strokes are never going to rate in the same way is because that album I was listening to, again, was called Feminist Sweepstakes, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was in a mode. I was in a place. And so a lot of the music that I was listening to had to evoke something that had that vibe. And the Strokes don't feel like that at all. They're just very straight up and down, you know?
Well, the Strokes for me were like whatever the meat and potatoes was of like indie rock or alternative rock. For me, it was like listening to like Foreigner or something. Versus like the White Stripes were like a band with personality, were like constantly doing weird things, weird songs that, you know, that didn't sound like anything else. Like a guy who didn't really sound like anyone else, like one of the weird 90s novelty bands like Ween or something like that. You know, it's weird now because like they're also, quote unquote, a meat and potatoes band just by being a rock band. Like any rock and all sounds like Foreigner to the kids mm-hmm. these days.
Well, I mean, what was it?
And especially like the White Stripes, who are all about, you know, like stripping it down. We're making it authentic again, even though we're dressing up in silly costumes every making silly videos every video.
I think, you know, you said the Strokes, the new Nirvana. I mean, like, didn't Billy Corgan say that Smells Like Teen Spirit sounds like more than a feeling?
I think Kurt Cobain said that.
No, Billy Corgan apparently said it first. And then Kurt Cobain like started to play Smells Like Teen Spirit at a concert and then switched over to More Than a Feeling.
Yeah. No, I think he said straight up that, you know, the riff from Smells Like Teen Spirit is me trying and failing to play the riff from More Than a Feeling. This is relevant because Y2K is like when Kurt Cobain has been fully classic rock. The full classic rockization of Nirvana had fully happened at that point, and that's why everyone was like chasing for the new Kurt Cobain.
Sure, but I think it's relevant just in the sense that like,
or the he new did punk
a song
rock.
That sounded like another song from a different era, and here we have Last Night that sounds like American Girl. I think there's an interesting parallel there. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like the thing about the Strokes really is just I think that they had some bad circumstances around the band. And I think they got too big too fast. And the combination of those two things means that, like, I don't know. I just, like, people have had this huge expectation for them that they were never going to hit. And it kind of diluted everything. If you sit and listen to that record, though, it is straight up and down great, though. And Last Night just kills. It's just such a good song. It's uncomplicated. It's got a great structure. And if you just let your lizard brain take over. If you're an Emma Stone human woman with a baby brain, you're gonna fucking love that shit. It's perfect. And I just think that it structurally and movement wise is just overall better than Fell in Love with a Girl. That's it. That's all it boils down to.
No, I still prefer Fell in Love with a Girl because it just fucking rips. Like the great thing about the White Stripes is that, you know, Meg White has always been Jack White's best collaborator. He's got like four other bands in his solo career. The great thing about Meg White is that she would just bash. She'd just thrash and bash. Like she'd hit the drums and then she'd hit them again. And this is like one of their more energetic songs. And it just rips. It's just like getting punched in the face over again. And I love it. I love that song. I will always love that song.
The 2000s answer to Dave Grohl, you might say.
I mean, Dave Grohl
not
was
really, but no, I just no,
not,
to
not at
going.
All.
No,
I think
it's kind of funny just to keep pretending everything relates to Nirvana for no reason.
It did, though. It did.
It was kind of did. But I mean, the way in which, you know, I truly think the Achilles heel, you cannot be a band and have somebody say they're the new Nirvana and do well. You're destined to crash and burn pretty much 100%.
Yeah.
If someone says that about you.
Poor the vines. Poor the vines.
Oh, gosh.
Well, we've been talking a bit.
We have been. I do want to say a huge thank you for the Strokes. Like, apparently everybody made fun of them for not taking a $650,000 deal with Heineken to have last night play in a Heineken ad.
Mm-hmm.
You guys did the right thing.
That's almost cute now. Like,
it's a lot of money. I still think you did the right thing. So we do this thing after we bullshit for a while where we have four questions, which hopefully kind of takes all of the bullshit and makes it into something real. Question number one, question of history, a question of destiny. One of these songs is going to stick around time immemorial, and one of them is going to go away like it was never here. For the culture, Todd, which song has to stay?
I feel like the one with the bigger footprint is Last Night. Like, that is the Strokes song. It's not even necessarily my favorite Strokes song. I think that's hard to explain. The song hard to explain. Not that it's hard to explain from the best song. It just does feel more important to the entire rest of that decade than Fell in Love with a Girl. Like, the White Stripes is atom bomb of a song of Seven Nation Army. So I think we're on the same page for that one. All right.
Yes. Question number two. You could be a fly on the wall. You can experience soup to nuts, the entire creation of one and only one of these songs, everything up to and including, and this is a big deal here, the music video, which is the one where you want to see how the sausage got made.
Like I said, I'd always want to, I was always more interested in the White Stripes as people. So even if we were not talking about like one of the best videos of the 2000s, I would still pick the White Stripes on this one. I can't imagine having even like a conversation with the Strokes.
I think I agree. I think it's funny because to me, in my head, part of the story is also that time that they reached out to Lego to be like, you should make a White Stripes set. And Lego was like, we don't make Legos for adults. Which is pretty funny since whatever I read, somebody had pointed out that, like, you know, it was a ways away, but they did eventually get to the part where they were like, and here's a Millennium Falcon. It costs $350 for these Legos. And it's like, yeah, who's that for? How many decades of a child raising up money for like mowing lawns is required? Anyway, yeah, I think that makes sense. Question number three. Megan Thee Stallion, getting out to a night of hot girl shit. Just making a playlist to get ready for a said night of hot girl shit. One of these songs going on it. Which one of these songs now forever, Todd, is hot girl shit?
Fell in Love with a Girl. I thought about it, and I think that's my answer, yeah. I don't know. Like, not necessarily the kind of hot that Megan Thee Stallion is. But it feels like at least a hot girl shit. I'm not so sure about
that. That does not
night.
Sound complimentary. I don't, you know, I would never say a shit.
You about know what anything. I mean. God damn it.
It sounded filthy. Anyway, I don't know, man. This is one of those times where I really just wish that one of us was friends with Meg so that we could be like, which one of these do you prefer? But then, of course, I think that would just end the episode immediately. Like if we had Megan Thee Stallion as a bud
and she'd just answer us.
Yeah, she'd just answer it. And the thing is, we would really have to save it for this point in the show because once she said what her answer was, it would be over.
Right.
And that song would be the winner.
Right. That is correct.
But yeah, I don't know. I think I would give it to Last Night. Again, I think it's more of a full song. I think it builds well. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I feel like both of these songs could be successful with Megan Thee Stallion, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
All right. And now the fourth and final question. Most important question, not just of the show, but of all human history. William Shatner, thespian, equestrian, singer, we're going to give it to him. He's going to do a William Shatner version of one and only one of these two songs. Todd, which one of these songs must be shat upon?
I don't know. Do these songs have lyrics? I could name the lyrics off the top of my head much easier for Fell in Love with a Girl. I'm not sure he'd have anything much to work with, though.
I don't know. I think the idea of talking about the different lobes of your brain.
Yeah.
That feels very Shatnerian to me.
Yeah. My left brain knows that all love is fleeting. Bobby says it's fine. He doesn't consider it cheating. No. Yeah, I think that could work.
I feel pretty good about that, actually.
Yeah. Like, I'm not sure what exactly the mood is for Last Night, honestly, lyrically.
It's a weird one. The lyrics are actually kind of the weakest part of that song for me.
I remember seeing the Strokes perform on SNL, and like the guy's Casablancas was like pushing his face into the mic, singing as hard as he could, and I could barely hear him. That was my first big memory of the Strokes, and maybe the last also. I guess we got to go with the White Stripes on that one.
All right. Well, I kind of feel like White Stripes has taken it so far.
Yeah.
But now for the only thing that matters, the result. No, I'm kidding. It's the listener comments.
All right. Chief Zooligan writes, if Fell in Love with a Girl wins, everybody that voted for it should have to listen to that collab that Jack White did with the Insane Clown Posse. Even as a fan of ICP, I can tell you it's surprisingly awful.
Oh, man. My music club, our next meetup. We're doing an ICP record.
Oh, wow. Okay, it's titled Leck mich im Arsch. That's German for lick me in the ass. And that's
tracks. That seems right.
And that's the name of a Mozart piece. That's the Mozart piece, Lick Me in the Ass. Because he was a smutty man. I don't know what am I looking at?
I don't know. I wish it'd stop.
Okay, I'm not doing this. Nope. All right. Maxi Raccoon Revolution writes, as a Detroit native, I feel obligated to vote for the White Stripes. However, as a person with taste, I also feel obligated to vote for the White Stripes.
You son of a bitch.
All right. Kane Lewis writes, I've said it once before, but it bears repeating. Fell in Love with a Girl slays at karaoke night. I bet it does, but like you're off the... I mean, that's like 2 minutes and 1 second long, and then you have to get off the stage. That's not really like an American Idol piece.
It kind of feels like a real mic drop, though, right? Like,
yeah,
you've been up there, you've been hanging out, and it's the last song, right? It's the inverse of like what everybody else does, where like the last song on the night is really long.
Yeah,
you're like, my voice is hoarse, I'm drunk, I want to just go out in a blaze of glory.
That makes sense. Callie Jupiter writes, the Strokes have the vibe of that guy from freshman year that decided to center his entire personality around drinking whiskey and reading Bukowski, whereas the White Stripes seems like the guy who might have actually lived that life, even if he really didn't. Either way, I dated way too many versions of either guy, so I feel personally attacked by this matchup.
That seems upsetting. I hope that you found a great therapist.
Right.
I also hope they found a great therapist.
Yeah. I'm getting into whiskey. Oh, I don't. Okay. It's not a good thing.
You can try getting into non-alcoholic whiskey. That's what I do.
All right.
I drink the non-alcoholic stuff. Don't do drinks, kids.
Yep.
Not Joel like Thomas. Todd. Sorry.
Joel Thomas writes, "This is a tough one. One part of me knows the Strokes were more or less the coolest garage band to 18-year-old me, but the White Stripes would definitely become a bigger part of my musical journey. I guess it's like these two sides of my brain need to have a meeting."
Boo. Fucking boo, but well done.
All right. Hillel Frankel writes, "As a bass player, I'm morally obligated to vote against the White Stripes." I mean, the bass does do well on Last Night. If you're a bass player, that's the one you want to play. I mean, it's the only one you can play. All right. Excalibur. I mean,
you could add some. You could do the Joss Stone version.
Oh, God. I've completely forgot about that. Oh. Puke. Awful.
But wait, how did you feel about it?
It was all right. All right. Excalibur writes, "For some reason, I 100% believe that the Strokes was one of these 70s rock bands like the Kinks or the Animals or something until this matchup." The Animals, I'm pretty sure, were broken up by the 70s, actually.
The Animals is a 60s band, for sure.
Yeah. And I think the Kinks were around in the 70s, but I also think of them
they
as...
They were.
Yes, I the also Kinks, think of them the as Kinks a 60s band. All right. Tanner McGuire writes, "Given the same title theme of the last episode, I was terrified that Todd was about to announce the second option was Last Night by Morgan Wallen."
Oh, God. Yes, somebody else had said this to me, too. I don't remember who it was.
No, like, again. Puke.
What'd you think of it, though?
It sucks. All right.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
All right, Sally Graves writes, "It's a close call, as in the buttons were close together when I clicked on them, but it's the White Stripes." Simple enough. All right. Emily Mickelson writes, "Sometimes these polls seem perfectly designed to start silly arguments between me and my husband." Lena, this podcast has accomplished everything I wanted it to.
I won't be satisfied until people are divorced.
All right. And one last one. Robert Boy Genius writes, "I like Lego." Not even Legos, just Lego. Thank you. Good comment, Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
And so all that is left is for us to do the results. Lena, who do you think took this one?
I don't know. I kind of feel like it's going to be the White Stripes just because they loom larger at this point. And are generally well regarded, but I don't know. I'll tell you what. Just because I've been supping from the whole time, I'm going to say the Strokes won. If they did win, it'll somehow be because of what I said in this episode.
It's all your fault. Okay,
it's all time travelers.
For a total of 441 to 286, that is a 61-39 split. The White Stripes are indeed the champion. We fell in love with the White Stripes. Although 60-40, that's not bad. You know, it's a pretty solid showing.
It's all right.
Yeah. I honestly expected the White Stripes to win that one by a lot more, honestly.
Oh, I had no idea what was going to happen, to be fair.
All right. Well, that was our podcast. That was fun.
Wow.
If you like it, you can give us money. In fact, I'm going to stop here and say, please give us money. Please, please give us money. Just a dollar. If you give us a dollar, you get access to our entire array of bonus episodes where every month you guys pick a movie for us to watch and we have to review it. This month, you guys made us watch the We Are the World documentary.
Oh, we haven't gotten there yet, but I've already watched it.
I have not. Incidentally, that Go Forth Feminist Warriors thing is like legitimately like a parody of We Are the World, or like not even a parody, just like a takeoff. It's too sincere to be a parody.
Is it worse than a bunch of celebrities singing Imagine?
I don't have an answer for that off the top of my head, which should probably tell you.
Oh, maybe maybe we'll have to discuss that at a later time. Yeah, feel free to give us money. If you follow me on Twitter, you may know that I'm trying to buy some fake titties for myself, not just like as a gift to somebody, selfishly. And they're very expensive. So if you believe, as I do, that it's never too late for fake titties, give us a dollar. And that dollar will go towards those things.
Please do. We love you.
We love you.
All right. Are you ready for the next episode? This one is, we have a guest for this one, and they dictated this. I did not want to do an alternate, you know, two alt-rock episodes in a row, but this is how it's going to play out. We are we are going to be doing Teenage Riot by Sonic Youth versus Where Is My Mind by the Pixies.
Huge.
We're going way back to the start of alternative rock, really. All right. So long, everyone. Bye.